podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
So hello, and welcome back to Rock and Roll, which this week sounds a little different. Due to rugby travel, conflicting schedules, and all-round fuckery, it's just me and you. So how's your week been? All good, I hope? Less so if you're a Welsh rugby fan. You can call them whatever you want, but clubs, regions, super clubs, the Welsh domestic game's on its knees and nearing an 8 count. Meanwhile in France, the World Cup continues with all of its fun extracted and replaced by added villainy. On Friday night, the semi-finals kicked off as the All Blacks took on Argentina and saw them off with relative ease. Many have written off the All Blacks during this World Cup cycle, myself included. But even in defeat on the opening night, it was clear this All Blacks team was far greater than they'd been given credit for. Sure, this isn't the greatest All Blacks team we've ever seen, but even the worst Picasso is still a work of art. So even when they've failed to hit their straps, they've looked comfortable and composed amid moments of magic like that produced by Will Jordan in the crowning moment of the semi-final display, which has led to Ian Foster now nominated for Coach of the Year, having found his head on the chopping block not too long ago, and with Scott Razor Robertson waiting in the wings. And what better way to silence doubters than with a shining gold Webb Ellis trophy that now sits just 80 minutes away. Things weren't quite so easy for the Springboks against England. Borthwick, however, the man who has turned the tide, which for so long in this game seemed impossible for the All Blacks. England hassled, harried and harassed, not allowing the South Africans a second. This was not the performance that people had expected of a Borthwick England. Or of his predecessor Uncle Eddie, in fact. But sure enough it came, led by a rampant Courtney Laws. And this England team has shown glimpses of that already. They dismantled the Pumas limb from limb, like a bored house cat with a spider. And with that fresh in their minds, they returned, as they have successfully in the past, to the Devils' point scorers, the drop goal. Though not before the Springboks hauled off their 10 unceremoniously, the flair and guile of Manny Lubbock ousted for the unwavering reliability of Andre Pollard. For the pool defeat against Ireland, it was the lack of structure and, more importantly, the lack of kicking ability that cost them the game. Not this time around. The script felt written for Pollard. Injured before the World Cup began, he was a late addition to the squad and an even later addition to the match day. Now he stands as the man who kicked his team into the final. And so the script goes on. The end scene this Saturday. But at 29, he may fancy a sequel in the works regardless of the result. But the drama would not end there. Accusations of racial insults marred. Tom Curry claiming he was called a white cunt by South Africa Nuka Mbanambi. The question can only be debated as to whether racism can truly be claimed in this scenario. Racism truly needs societal, institutional and historical context in order for it to be examined correctly. It's particularly prevalent when it's claimed the comment came from a black South African man born before apartheid had even ended. But that's another debate for another time. And so we have a final of the two most successful teams in World Cup history. So much for the unpredictable nature of this tournament. Before that, we have to pretend we care about the most turgid of bronze finals, a concept I would struggle to care about if I was playing in it. So I have even less fucks to give than I thought possible. My fucks are in negative equity. I couldn't even give one if I wanted to. Even the name bronze final sounds awful to me. Bronze is essentially brown, and brown is essentially means shit. It's a shit final, and not least with the fact it's not a final at all. However, World Rugby are concerned that people weren't quite disillusioned enough with the game as things stand. So before we even reach England-Argentina in the third final, they launched the Nations Championship. Named so because rugby is so lacking ideas it can't even stretch to more than one name. So far on from the Championship, the Rugby Championship and the United Rugby Championship, we have the Nations Championship, which sounds like a preset tournament on the upcoming Rugby 2024. And after years of fans begging World Rugby to open the game beyond the traditional big nations, they've responded by knocking some nations out of a tournament that bloats the calendar in the worst possible way. Like a £20 belly buster breakfast as fee if you finish it all, including the inexplicable addition of chips. The tournament manages to further tighten Tier 1's grips on the throat of the game until it squeezes the life out of it, unable to see the damage past their own unflinching childlike wants. World Rugby are overseeing the game with all the love and care of Lenny from Of Mice and Men. Bill Bowman promises the unions that one day they'll live off the fat of the land. Rugby is now so determined to fuck itself in the pursuit of profit for all the world to see. Its only hope of ever being profitable is to set up an OnlyFans. although I imagine the endless stream of William Webb Ellis being pegged by the former captain of Question of Sport is somewhat niche. The league will be without two more mainstays, though, with Welsh rugby fullback Lee Halfpenny and England's most capped player Ben Youngs calling time on their careers. Upon England's exit from the World Cup, Ben Youngs declared his retirement and threw his boots in the bin and promptly missed. And with that, we wrap up this week's short podcast. And remind you, there's a Patreon special for Halloween as I say my thank yous. Thank you to me for finally turning up to a recording for once. Thanks to Lee Halfpenny for 15 years of dependability that Wales haven't been able to offer. And finally, thanks to you for listening. Cheers. Bye now.
You've been listening to Ruck and Roll. If you've stuck with us this far, leave us a review, follow us not just here, but on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook and TikTok, and drop us a message. You're a pretty friendly bunch. It'll be great to hear from you no matter what you want to say. And we'll see you next time. Thanks very much for listening. Bye for now.
Podcast Network.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.